Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How are you?
No, I'm off to a rough start this morning, guys. I'm not going to lie.
Why is that?
I was laying in bed with my family watching America's Got Talent reruns and trying to fill out my 53-man roster, and I forgot Jeffrey Simmons and Nico Autry, so it was a rough start.
Well, it's funny you say that because I just got a text message from a mutual friend of ours named Jared Selman that said, bust Corey's butt for getting a 53-man roster out there and not putting Jeff Simmons on it.
He's the one who alerted me to my mistake, which I am grateful. I did write the caveat at the very bottom. It is very early,
yes.
And I also do not have a roster sitting in front of me, so I am very likely making a mistake here. And I was correct.
So just for clarity's sake, you do think that Jeff Simmons is going to make the team and Nico Autry?
You know, I think not only will he make the team, but he'll survive the waiver wire transactions as well.
Oh, good. I think you could be right on that front. So, Corey, in all seriousness, as you look at the game on Saturday – with the performance of Malik Willis in that game and Logan Woodside as well coming in late in the game, how do you view the backup quarterback competition as we sit here today with roster cuts on the horizon?
Well, it's not what I thought it would be, guys. I thought we would go into the season with three quarterbacks, and I don't think they're going to. I think Malik Willis will be the guy. I think his talent, his growth, his eagerness to learn, I think the impression he's made on this football team – I think they have probably seen enough to feel like they can put him out there and get stuff done. And that's not condemning Logan Woodside. It's just the fact that most teams don't like to carry three. All right. And, if you believe Malik Willis is ready to go out there and play, if you have to put them out there and play, then that's what you do. That's just it. That's the decision. It's kind of like the Kern Stonehouse thing. You know, tough decisions have to be made. And you can like guys, you can trust guys, you know, you can have guys who've been a part of it for a long time, but that's not the league. The league is putting the best 53 on your roster. And that includes Jeff Simmons and Nico Autry.
Yes, it does.
So that sounds like you think Stonehouse is the guy then?
I do. I mean, 49.4 yards a punt on seven punts, 70 yards in the air, checking it up at the one down to the six. I mean, he was pretty spectacular. I had a chance to chat with Brett Kern on the sideline some. He understands how good the kid is. He also understands how good his camp was because he was really good in camp. Guys, sometimes you have to make a 12-year decision over a one or a 2-year decision. And I think we're unfortunately at that time. I just think that's the business of it. And I think that's probably the prudent decision to make.
Corey, we were talking about this earlier. I don't know if he's for sure going to make the team or what role he's going to have if he does. But Joe Jones impressed the heck out of me in this preseason, all three games. What do you make of him and his outlook for this team as they move forward here?
Well, you know, I didn't have him on my 53, but he could certainly be there. I mean, he could certainly be in that linebacker mix. He's a guy who's been up and down with this organization, so he's clearly a guy that's been interested in him. You know, one of the things I like about him as a middle linebacker, he's a thicker dude, okay? I mean, he's packing some weight behind him, and he can get in there and fill. And then you also saw the effort to chase the guy down. And that's what everybody takes away from the game, and it's great. To me, that position is about running and tackling and being able to bring dudes down. And, you know, he's a thicker guy than most of the guys they've got in there, but he can still run a little bit. But you're still talking about a guy who's, you know, probably going to have to be the last inside linebacker kept.
So how about another spot of depth concern, Corey? And I have no idea what to think, honestly, at safety after the two starters. I mean, they've made deals. They've brought in guys. They've moved guys around. You know, some into the slot and back at safety. I mean, how do you see that shaking out? Yeah. Who's on this team?
Well, I mean, do we know how seriously AJ Moore's injury is? I mean, you know, I don't think anybody knows.
That move makes me think maybe it's significant, but it's not like he's been put on anything.
Put him on IR, yeah. So, like, I had AJ Moore. They made the move for Lonnie Johnson, so I think they're probably going to keep him, but we'll see. Do you list Ugo Amadi as a safety or as a corner? That's the other thing. I mean, you know, he plays all over the place. I listed him, I believe, as a corner.
Yeah, I think that's right.
He's kind of Elijah Molden-like, where he's kind of hybrid. Right. And, you know, and then is Theo Jackson going to make it? You know, I think Josh Kalu had a good camp and a good preseason. And so I think he's there, and he's a guy he's seen a lot of. But they obviously weren't thrilled with everything that they had. I mean, with the amount of bodies that they rolled through. You know, I certainly think Amadi, after the trade, you know, has to make the team. So I think he's there. But, you know, I think we also need to look at the waiver wire there as well. But, I mean, those are just the guys that I would look. I think Kalu is there, all right, and obviously the starters. You can debate, you know, Theo Jackson and Lonnie Johnson. And who's the other, number 32, Colbert?
Yeah.
Adrian Colbert, yeah. I mean, you know, he's the other guy in the running. They're looking at a lot more film than we are, guys. And so, you know, they're going to make their decision there. But, again, I think, you know, for a lot of these guys, you know, I don't know how many, you know, they could make it Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday could be really disappointing days.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, with that in mind, looking at the offensive line, obviously Petit Frere looks like he's going to be the starter at right tackle. What did you make of Dylan Radins at guard the other night? And, you know, is he going to make the team? Jared Stillman said last week 75% he's getting cut. So what do you make of all that?
You know what? I think what saves Radins from getting cut is the rest of the stuff they have isn't very good.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we saw quarterbacks under duress the entire preseason. I don't think that group did a tremendous job during the preseason. So I believe he makes the initial cut, but again, that's a guy that I would not necessarily get too comfortable as the waiver wire goes through. And I've had a lot of people tell me I'm crazy because he's a second round pick and you got to give him time. And I know there have been people on Twitter who've made the case that he's much better than people think. If he was much better than people think, he'd be the starting right tackle. You know, he was given every opportunity to win that job, and he could not do it. And, you know, Petit Frere's been fine. You know, he's coming along, and I think he's more talented. I think he's more naturally talented. But he didn't go in there and grab the position by the throat and said, this one's mine. You know, I think Radins just left the door open for him. I think that was the main thing. You know, now I do think Petit Frere can be a long-term answer. You know, he's a smart guy, an athletic guy. He's going to get, I believe he'll get better and better. But, you know, this was an opportunity and an opportunity missed. And if he's not ready now, do you think he's going to be ready in next year or the year after? Or are you at this point just good saying, you know what, he's not a starter, but we're good with him as a swing guy. He can come in and fill in for us as a pinch. I'm very interested to see what's out there on the waiver wire. Because I think guard, tackle, swing, if there's an experienced guy out there you feel good about, I think they have to take a long, hard look at that.
So just big picture, Corey, this team right now, as camp has finished, compared to what you thought it was, all the information, you know, the young guys, some old guys getting hurt, you know, Autry hasn't been out there. You feel better, worse, the same about this team than you did a month ago?
You know, I don't read too much into the older guys who don't practice very much, because they've really taken care of those guys most of the time. So we'll see. I really like Roger McCreary. I think they really like Roger McCreary. I think, you know, I think Farley has shown some flashes of the talent that made him be the pick that he was. So I feel good about what they've got, you know, at cornerback. I know some people, you know, questioned the depth there, but I think they've got guys they can roll out there and feel good about, you know, as long as they stay healthy, which is just like most of the teams in the league. I think defensively, you know, I feel good about this team. My question is the same about this team as it was coming in, and that's the offensive line. And you know, is that going to come together? That's the big question that I've got. I think, you know, the receivers, you know, I think it's much what we thought, that the sum of the parts could be better, you know, despite not having A.J. Brown, who could be a dominant player, that the sum of the parts could ultimately wind up being better. You know, we've seen, not necessarily seen a lot of Phillips and Burks in games, but we've seen enough in camp to think that they can be good players. And so I'm excited about what I can see from this team. But again, you know, the game is won in the trenches. And ultimately, you know, I think this season will be decided, you know, obviously by Ryan Tannehill and what he's able to do. But a large part of that is what the five guys in front of him do, you know, and can they keep him upright, and can they carve out another big year for Derrick Henry?
All right, Corey, last thing for you. The NFL top 100 player list is out, and Brady's at mm-hmm. number one at age 45. Jonathan mm-hmm. Taylor at number five, Derrick Henry at number 12. Do we think that even now as we speak, Derrick Henry is doing some bench presses, like bench pressing a car in anticipation to get ready for this season? Number 12 for Derrick Henry.
I don't know. I mean, look, he only played 8 games last year, right?
I know.
So to be number 12 and only playing half the season, to me, is still pretty strong. So, you know, I wouldn't be that upset about it. I think Josh Allen at, what was he, number 13?
Yeah.
I think he's probably got a bigger beef. You know, Josh Allen, who's a guy I did not like at all his first 2 years in the league, has just become a spectacular player. And, you know, look, Jalen Ramsey is a really good corner. We all know that. But if I sat here and said to you, pick a player, Josh Allen or Jalen Ramsey for your football team, which one are you going to pick?
I'm going to go Josh Allen.
There you go. It's not even close, right?
Same.
Yeah. I mean, this is not a hard choice. But, again, these are voted on by the players, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, friends, names, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And, like, their opinion is just as good or better than everyone else's. But, you know, players stand by players. I mean, how many times do you see players clamoring to bring in washed-up players because they know the name and they know the guy and they watched him play? And, you know, it's not always a head decision. A lot of times it's a heart decision. And I think some of that can go into this list. But I think the Rams had 3 in the top 10, and they won the Super Bowl. So there you go. But, you know, look, Tom Brady, you know, a lot of people, the greatest quarterback I've ever lived. So if you want to put in number one, I don't have a problem with number one. And if Derrick Henry wants to be back at number four, you know, the foot's got to hold up, and he's got to play 17 games.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for being with us.
Breaking news. Simmons and Autry make the team.
Well, you heard it here first on this program. Corey Curtis, that's why we've got him. Corey, appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What are some of the interesting decisions that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have to make over the course of the next 24 to 30 hours as they get ready for the roster cutdown? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Titans closed out the preseason with a 26-23 win against Arizona over the weekend. Malik Willis, 15 of 23 for 131 and a touchdown and a pick. Logan Woodside comes in and leads the Titans down the field. They score the game-winning touchdown. Joe, we'll get into the quarterbacks a little bit more here in just a few minutes. But I want to start on something that Corey Curtis said in the last segment. He believes that Stonehouse is going to be the guy at punter, and he did get pretty much every look on Saturday at that position. And I got to say, I thought he played pretty well. He handled the situations well. He's been impressive throughout camp thus far. And it was interesting to hear Brett Kern talk after the game the other day as well, kind of reflective on his time with the Titans. And you know, he talked about the type of camp that he's had and that he's played well, but he also realizes that Stonehouse is a pretty special talent that the Titans have as well. So how do you view this punting competition today as the Titans have to make a decision on that by tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I've got to do a 53 today, you know, to run tomorrow at the Athletic, and I got to say, I'm bouncing back in my brain on that one. I Kern's resignation doesn't mean, like, Kern doesn't know what they're going to do.
Right.
They don't give him a tip like, hey, man, this is it for you, just so you know. Like, he's going to find out when everybody finds out. And I understand him being reflective and wondering if he's going to be on the team. I think you can definitely make the case for Stonehouse. I still, though, like Corey just said, a 1 or 2 year, you know, 12-year decision versus 1 or 2 years. And I agree, and that's why I probably lean just slightly to Stonehouse. But there is a strong case to be made to keep Brett Kern and to maximize what this team can be. And certainly you're not flipping the field the way Stonehouse can do that, but you are going to be more precise and reliable at pinning opponents, you know, when you're at your own 35 or beyond this season, if you have Kern. So how much does that matter to you? Plus, is there even a 1%, a 0.7% drop off in the operation, the holding for field goals?
Yeah,
from Kern to Stonehouse, if this might cost you a game this year. And I think it make the case to do whatever is best. I mean, you are still in a win-now window, right?
I would think so. I mean, look, I'll say this. Randy Bullock looked good on Saturday. He was 2 for 2. He made 1 for 51 yards. So, you know, that's something we've really not discussed all training camp, which is a good thing for the Titans. Like, Randy Bullock has had a good camp, and it seems like he's in good shape heading into this season. But if Stonehouse is the holder, you know that Kern has done it for a long time. There's familiarity between Kern and Randy Bullock at this point. You know, can Stonehouse handle that part of it? That's why I think he got a long look at that part of that process during camp, because if you mess that up, that can cost you a game. So there's more than just, you know, how far does Brett Kern punt the ball and how far does Ryan Stonehouse punt the ball that goes into this. I'll say, though, it kind of feels, just kind of reading the tea leaves, I think when everything's said and done tomorrow, I think Ryan Stonehouse is going to be the punter for this team. Could be wrong. You know, love Brett Kern, but I think Ryan Stonehouse is going to be the punter for this team come tomorrow.
Like, I almost need to just flip a coin on this one. I mean, I really don't know. I think, like I said, I'm probably like 51-49 Stonehouse right now, but man, it's tough. But look, I mean, obviously, long term, like, Stonehouse is going to be somebody's punter in this league for a long time. And if you're the, I guess, if you're the potentially lucky team right now who has a not great punting situation, and you're able to get to him on waivers tomorrow if he's out there, and that's a pretty sweet deal for you. He's going to be somebody's punter for a decade, and probably a guy people talk about in this league because he is not your average big-legged punter. He's booming them.
He is booming them, no question about it. So that is, you know, regardless of who it is, if the Titans go Stonehouse, Like, I think Kern's going to end up somewhere punting. Obviously, if they go Kern, and I think Stonehouse will end up somewhere punting. So, I mean, I guess in a way it's a good situation to have. You got two good punters that you're choosing from. But it'll be tough if Brett Kern is gone. I mean, he's been here since 09. I said this earlier, like, I think a lot of people said this as a joke. To me, it really wasn't a joke. There was probably a couple-year stretch in there where he was, if not their best player, certainly on the short list of their best players, which kind of shows you where the franchise was during that time. But he was a very, very, very good punter for a long time. And by all accounts, he's had a pretty good camp thus far, too. So I'm not saying he's done either.
Yeah, no, he's going to be, someone will pick him up too, for sure. What if, of course, he's from Buffalo area, so.
Yeah.
Brett Kern could be pinning the Titans deep, opening weekend, second week, Monday Night Football of the year.
Kern, Saffold, Quesenberry, Bobby Hart.
Bobby
a lot of
Hart,
former Titans running right. around out there.
Exactly. So, no, it's a tough one. It's like you said, you want to have tough decisions because you have two really good players, but this really is one of those. Are you a little bit better, feel a little bit safer this year with Kern, but did you just give up a decade of one of the top punters in the league if you believe he's that good? Really interesting decision for John Robinson and that, everybody.
Yeah, really tough decision as well. So what about safety? Because, look, Theo Jackson, I thought, played really well on Saturday against Arizona. They've made a ton of moves there this preseason. Part of this is going to be, injury-related as well. But how do you view the safety room today as they've got to make a decision there? And that's obviously something that they've been shuffling the pieces around quite frequently throughout camp thus far.
Well, safety, probably as much as anything, is you do not want to get an injury to a starter.
No question.
I mean, you got a case as the top starting tandem in the NFL, and you got a lot of questions after that. I think Corey asked a big and important question there. Like, what's up with AJ Moore? Because he was clearly the third safety, and he's been out. And of course, pretty soon we get some actual injury reports going here. But the
Vrabel's favorite time of year.
That's right. Get the copier warmed up for some nice nice injury reports for everybody. I mean AJ Moore, obviously, if he were like the moves in tandem with him being banged up, I'm like, oh, that's not good. But it's not like they put him on the IR or anything like that. So, I mean, to me, he's making the team and he's the third safety. And then I think Theo Jackson is the next guy. But they do have Gillespie out there and Colbert, and they've tried a bunch of different guys. And like Corey said, you got some guys who kind of can bounce around. Is Clue? I'm not sure I agree that Clue is making this team. Maybe, but I'm not convinced of that. And what do they think in this short period of time of Ugo Amadi? That's a really tough one to predict. But I think Theo Jackson is my number four safety, based on all the information.
Your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Sign up today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. What sort of a case did Malik Willis make for the backup quarterback job on Saturday night? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
To make a decision on your backup quarterback in regards to Malik?
I think we'll get to the roster probably later in the week, Teresa, but I appreciate the quarterback play that we got from both guys last night. Malik did some things that were really encouraging that we had talked about, his ability to step up into the pocket, kept his eyes downfield at times, also was able to have some explosive gains running, which is exactly what we talked about. The operation was better, but then there's some things we have to improve. And then we had two two-minute drives that we scored on, one with Malik, and then Logan came in and had a great drive and did a nice job and helped us score a touchdown there late.
That was Mike Vrabel on the play of the Titans' backup quarterbacks the other night against Arizona. Malik Willis finishing 15 of 23 for 131 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Logan Woodside, 5 of 9 for 43 yards, also ran in a touchdown as well. Also, should be pointed out, Malik Willis had 79 yards on the ground as well, including a 50-yard run. That was pretty exciting to watch. So, you heard Corey Curtis talk about it, Joe, a couple segments ago. He thinks that Malik Willis is going to be the guy. He's going to be the backup quarterback. And there seems to be some momentum that's growing there in terms of, you know, what Titans fans and some Titans media members are thinking about the backup QB job. So let's just kind of isolate it into the preseason and take a look at what Malik Willis has done. I thought there was improvement in every game. I thought maybe some slight improvement from game one to game two. I thought he was pretty good this last game against Arizona. I mean, as you pointed out earlier, there were some throws that got away. I think accuracy is going to be something that he continues to have to work on. But all in all, you know, 15 of 23, 131 yards. I thought he ran the offense well. And, the ability to make plays and take off running. I mean, the 50-yard run was pretty darn impressive. It was something to behold. So with everything that we've seen, the complete picture of the preseason now behind us, what sort of a case do you think Malik Willis has made to be the backup quarterback for the Titans heading into the season?
Well, he's made a case, no doubt. We know he's going to be on the roster. We know that the plan for him is the exact same as it's always been, which is to, you know, be on this team this year and absorb everything you can absorb, improve wherever you can improve. And, of course, now to help this team win, the hope is, because Ryan Tannehill will play every week, the hope is that he'll mostly help this team by giving the defense a look, in certain, especially against, you know, with certain quarterbacks coming up. But the case for him to be QB2 is also tied to Logan Woodside, right? He had a rough last bit of camp, nice redemptive little drive there for him at the end of Saturday's game. I'm kind of, you know, just like with the punter situation, as I sit here and think about the 53, I am more and more embracing the idea of cut Woodside. You'll feel fine about him getting through waivers, and then you put him on your practice squad, and then you have that flexibility. You still have the guy who has been around, who in theory you could still then move him to the active roster. In a given week, you could move things around if Tannehill does get hurt, but it's a short-term injury, and he could still be your choice. It's kind of like cake and eat it too kind of situation there if you want to go that way. It's a risk, but do you think anybody's going to pick up Logan Woodside?
I don't, and I also, the more I think about it, Joe, the more I look at this roster and say, like, does John Robinson really want to have three active quarterbacks every week? Like, does he want three guys to be active? Like, I think you could absolutely, maybe absolutely is too strong of a word. I think there's a good chance you could cut Logan Woodside and he could sneak through and you could put him on your practice squad and you still got him. If you need to call him up and need to make him active for game day, then you can do that at that point. But the more I think about it, when the final roster cuts are announced, I don't think Logan Woodside's going to be a part of it. Now, whether that means they view Malik Willis as the backup quarterback or not, I don't know. But the more I think about it from a roster construction standpoint, I don't know if they're going to be carrying three quarterbacks.
Right. So the initial reaction, if that's the way it goes, is Malik Willis 1, QB2. But again, if it goes the way the Titans probably would like to see it go, you sneak Woodside on the practice squad. And just depending on the situation, you could still go that way. Look, if Tannehill has a long-term injury, then you have to take advantage and go with Malik Willis. And the thing is, even over a stretch of time, you're hoping Willis keeps improving. If that was a scenario, I think over a stretch of time, I'd feel better about him giving you a chance to make some game-winning plays.
Agreed.
Than Woodside. But I still do believe, like, in that short space, if it's a Tannehill ankle for a week or something, you might be able to cobble together a safe game plan with Woodside a little bit better than Willis right now. And that might be the better choice, but yeah, I mean, if it's anything long-term, again, you're probably hosed on the season anyway. And then you may as well take advantage and let Malik Willis just go out there and get as much learning in as he can get. But yeah, I am leaning toward the two on the active roster, try to sneak Woodside on the practice squad, or two on the active roster, cut Woodside and try to go out there and get someone else to be actual QB too. I mean, that is also possible that you know, you could find someone, you could have your eye on someone out there that you could pick up to be actual QB too for you. I think that's a real short list of people that you'd feel good about.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in DeJuan from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. DeJuan, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, I had a question. So is it better for a quarterback, let's just say for Malik Willis, we know he could potentially be the replacement. Is it better for him to be the third string and develop, because the second string is typically preparing the defense? So, like, I've never been to NFL practice, so you would think if you're a third string quarterback, all you're doing is, you know, preparing and getting better to one day, you know, compete. But if you're the second string, do you really have an opportunity to get better versus just being the practice dummy?
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I mean, the one thing that's interesting about this, like, typically, like, the backup is they're getting reps to, in case they have to go in the game. So,
yeah, like, exactly.
Malik Willis, if he's the third string, that's actually probably when he'd be the show team, as Vrabel calls it, quarterback at that point. Now, you know, you don't have to do it that way. The Titans could handle it any way they want to handle it. But the coaching part, that's why I think it was important to get as long of a look at Malik Willis as they did in the preseason, because the day-to-day inner workings of the reps that he's going to get are about to dramatically change as they get in the regular season, because their focus in the regular season is going to be getting Ryan Tannehill ready to play and ready to win come Sunday.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good question by DeJuan, and actually, you're right. Like, the third, usually the third guy would be your scouting quarterback, helping the defense get better,
right?
And your backup has to get some reps in the game plan so that in a pinch, backup can go in and you know the plays. I mean, you know, game plan every week, you're running the same plays over and over again for a particular game plan. So the interesting thing also here is, there's Willis's development, but there's also, you can make the case, like, I personally, as if I'm Shane Bowen, like, I want Malik Willis to be the scouting quarterback, because, and I want to say, let it rip, man. Let it rip.
Yeah.
Let's, I mean, all the ability. I mean, he would put way more stress on a defense with what he can do. He has a much bigger arm. He's a much better athlete. Like, so, like, you have a better look for your defense, I think. Now, granted, I mean, different types of quarterbacks, I guess. If you have a total statue quarterback in a given week, but there aren't that many left in the NFL, you know, then maybe Woodside's better. But, like, just some of the throws Willis can make in tight windows, and if he's on that, now you don't worry about making mistakes. You're like, hey, man, you throw into that tight window. Like, make throws that you're not even sure you can make, because you want to give this defense a look. So there's a benefit for the current team that I think is Willis on the scout team. If he is straight up QB2, maybe that helps his development a little more, because he is doing game plan reps in a given week, but it's still so limited, you know? It's a really interesting, you know, puzzle there to try to put it all together. To, first of all, the first priority is helping this team win.
Right.
But then how, you know, is there a difference in, like, learning curve timeline between always being the scout guy or actually being QB2 in terms of preparation? It's a really interesting question.
I mean, I'm going through their schedule right now and trying to determine who the statue quarterbacks are. I mean Matt
Danny
Ryan
Dimes sure isn't a statue. Yeah,
Danny Dimes is not a statue. I mean, Matt Ryan is like the one. I mean, Derek Carr doesn't run a lot, but he can move. Davis Mills, is he a statue? I mean, do you count as a statue when you can overlook the entire line of scrimmage? I don't know. It's a big statue.
He's like the Statue of Liberty out there, just like looming over the city.
But I mean, other than that, there's not very many quarterbacks on the schedule for the Titans that can't move around a little bit.
But even, like, say Matt Ryan, again, if I'm Shane Bowen or Anthony Midgett, those guys, I'm like, I want Malik's arm out here. Run those Colts plays.
Yeah.
And let it rip. Like, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, but, like, there's just such a big difference in talent between Willis and Woodside. So, I, like, as the defensive coaches on this team, I want that talent to help us during preparation week.
Got a texter that says, if you cut Woodside and he gets picked up, who cares? You can't win a game with him anyway. Anyone can be Logan Woodside. They've held on him for this long because they wanted Tannehill to be the unchallenged starter, and nobody could call for Woodside to start. That's coming from a texter on the text line. I don't think they've held on to this long because they wanted, like, Ryan, don't worry. No one's coming in at quarterback.
Buddy. We're going to have the crappiest backup ever, so you feel good about yourself, Ryan. Come on. I mean, I agree with the first part of that text that, you know, like, if you lose him, it's not the end of the world. But that is not – every team would like to have a good backup quarterback, I promise you. And the Titans have brought in guy after guy after guy to beat out this backup quarterback, and I've seen it in the practice field. I'm like, wow, he's just flat out better than Trevor Siemian. I don't know what to tell you. Wow, DeShone Kizer, actually isn't good at all. I don't know what to tell you. Like, so – they've been trying to supplant him. They'll do it. Now they may do it. But, yeah, this is not about, like, you know, Tannehill, don't worry. We don't want anybody to call for you. Everybody would love to have a great player at backup quarterback because everybody expects injuries at every position.
I got a text that says, I know this isn't how you decide, but it's so much more fun to watch Malik Willis than it is Logan Woodside. I would say there's something to that. There's no question about it.
I cannot argue with that. If we're going entertainment value, it's not close.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the backup quarterback competition for the Titans next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, talking a little quarterback right now. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com just put out like a quarterback comparison article and chart in there, and it's got Jake Locker and Marcus Mariota and Vince Young and how Malik Willis stacks up to those guys. And it's pretty interesting to see kind of the comparisons there. By the way, Marcus Mariota in his first preseason was pretty good, Joe. 70% completion percentage. Pretty good.
Well, he was also the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL in his first game.
That is true.
Perfect QB rating. So I'm sure you weren't impressed, though. You're like, yeah, he sucks.
Look, he was great in that game. It all went downhill from there.
It did.
Look, I think Malik Willis deserves a lot of credit for making this a conversation. I thought he was good Saturday. Now, I don't know that I feel that much differently about the whole process right now than I did as we began this conversation back in the first preseason game. Like, the bottom line, Joe, is still this. If Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, the Titans are probably in a world of hurt, whether that's Malik Willis or Logan Woodside. Now, you can make that case for pretty much every team in the league with their starting quarterbacks, and that's no different here. I am starting to warm myself up a little bit more to the idea of, well, if Malik Willis can run the offense, which I think he's starting to show that he can, obviously there's going to be some growing pains there. You know, accuracy is still a concern, but the playmaking ability – I think I'm getting close to almost being where I'd rather take my chances with Malik Willis than Logan Woodside. I don't know that the Titans view it that way, but Malik Willis has shown me enough from, you know, kind of that wow factor standpoint where I would be intrigued by him in a game way more so than I would be from Logan Woodside from the standpoint of making plays to actually help you win a game. Now, the flip side of that may also be true. Like, he may make some plays that lose you a game. Maybe he's more susceptible to that than Woodside would be. So I guess it depends on how you view that if you're the Titans. But, you know, some of the throws that Willis has made, you're just like, man, that's a heck of a throw. And Woodside certainly can't do that.
Yeah, and for sure. Now, if you're on arguing the Woodside camp, you can say, yeah, but there's also still a lot of plays out there that you see where Woodside, it seems to like have it locked in where he knows he wants to go somewhere, and it's usually a short pass, but he sees what he's getting coverage wise. He gets the ball out quickly. You get 5-6 yards versus hold it. Could be a sack, could be just an errant throw. Like you could, I still think in a full game, you know, Woodside probably gives you just a little bit better ball out quickly, diagnosing what you're seeing on the field, you know, and safe game manager QB play. I mean, look, with either one of these guys for different reasons, if you had like, let's say you had a 6-game stretch with either one of them, and the Titans can beat people with Derrick Henry, they can beat people with their defense, but I wouldn't expect the Titans to be any better than like 2-4 in a 6-game stretch, and that might be asking a lot.
Yeah.
You're not, because again, we are comparing them to each other. Both of them are miles behind Ryan Tannehill right now. No matter what you think of Ryan Tannehill, you may hate him and think he's the worst QB, then you want him out of Nashville if you're a Titans fan. Don't be fooled about what he is relative to the two guys we're talking about as backup quarterback. It's like a different sport still. And now, obviously, the hope is that won't be the case into next spring and into next camp with Willis, that he makes up a ton of ground. But there is still a ton to make up. And I don't know if he'll do it or not.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Tyrikus. Tyrikus, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? I just want to talk about the history of the Titans. So let's say, for example, we're trying to you got to go look at the history. The Tennessee Titans let go of they let go of Casey to go get Clowney and Beasley. Didn't work out. Let go of Corey Davis to go get Julio Jones. Didn't work out. Let go of Jack Cochran to go get Isaiah Wilson. Didn't work out. Now we just went. It's just the history of us trading players and getting players and not working out. We just need a regular punter. We don't need you because you can kick a 70-yard bomb. We just need you to catch the ball and punt it. That's it. My thing is, I don't want to lose a playoff game or a regular season game to some rookie mistakes. I understand he's going to be great, but I'd rather keep Kern, man, because all we need him to do is catch the ball and punt it. Because let's be real, that first down that our punter got, he shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. We can brag about it, but he shouldn't have been in that situation. All right.
Hey, thanks for the call. I mean, look, there's no question. Like, everybody talked about the play that Stonehouse made there. You could tell Vrabel was not happy with that. Like, he was not a big fan of that.
No. Yeah, well, I mean, that has nothing to do with this. But, I hear you. I mean, that's why it's so tough, because it's like for all the moves in the last few years that have been very – I mean, you mentioned Clowney, you know, Julio. These are all moves that are like, this is our time. That's window open. Go for it moves. So if that's still your mindset, and obviously some of the Titans' moves this offseason have been a little bit forward thinking, but I mean, I think certainly they believe they can compete in the AFC, they can get in the playoffs, and they could make a run. Are you not better off with the absolute known commodity veteran who you know is going to still be a weapon when you have relatively decent field position? I hear you. Like, it's a really tough thing. But if you're John Robinson, you do have to, in these situations. So the difference between this and, like, Isaiah Wilson or whatever is there is a certain known commodity now with Stonehouse, right? Like, he's been in camp. He's been in these preseason games. They've seen him day after day.
Well, he could punt the crap out of the ball. You know, that's a known thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is that. And if you're John Robinson, it really is that. Okay, how much are we giving up? Now, in some ways, you can flip the field like way better now this year. You know, if you get pinned deep in your own end, you could flip it now, like you couldn't with Kern. But how much are you potentially giving up versus you weigh that of like, what does it mean to have the next punter? And if he's one of the best in the league for the next decade, how do you let that go? It's a really fascinating. I mean, I'm excited at how much we're talking about punter.
Me too.
In general, this has been the greatest punting conversations we've ever had, and it's about damn time. But it actually is just a really, really fascinating situation and decision.
It is. Now, when we start comparing it to like the Julio move and the pass rushing move with Clowney, like I do want to remember at the end of the day, like it is punter, right? So it's a little bit different. Maybe a little bit different.
Don't disrespect it, man. Most important play in football.
I'm just
Most important play in football.
I'm just throwing it out there. Now, the part that is, I'm not going to say it's more important than punting the ball, but it kind of is more important. Like, if there's a gigantic drop-off from Kern to Stonehouse in the holding part of it with field goals, like, then to me it's not worth it. Like, that part has to be, that operation has to be smooth. Yes. And if it's not, then all of a sudden you're causing yourself problems that could end up losing the games. Like, yes, you know, if Stonehouse, if he drops the ball on a punt, or, you know, a ball bounces at, you know, the 5 and rolls into the end zone, whereas with Kern it bounces at the 7 and rolls out at the 2, yes, that could be the difference in a win and a loss. But when you start messing with a field goal kicker, that's when it can really directly affect you. So you got to feel great about Stonehouse in that role, to me, if you're John Robinson, the Titans, if you're going to make this move. If you don't, then I'd probably still go in Kern.
If there's an inkling of a question about this adversely affecting Randy Bullock, I don't think you can do it. And so that's a great question right now. Do they have certainty that the operation is going to be just as good, you know, time after time, game after game, with Stonehouse compared to Kern?
It's a great question. We're going to find out the answer to that coming up tomorrow. We'll see what happens on that front. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. There's another position group with this Titans team where I'm very fascinated to see not only who's there, but how they're deployed as well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.